Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. A lot of folks in the listening audience are, I've just learned over the years, I've met many of them, and oftentimes they've called into the program and so forth. Many of the listeners of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast are homeschoolers. They've either been homeschooled themselves, or they're currently homeschooling their children, or grandparents who have children that are homeschooling, and they play some sort of a role in that as well. Well, there's been a number of things that have been taking place in the homeschooling movement, and most recently, a homeschooling leader disavows the idea of patriarchy. There's a story out on World Magazine written by Daniel James Devine that says HSLDA, that's Homeschool Legal Defense Association's founder, Michael P. Ferris, criticizes the teaching of former ministry leader Doug Phillips and Bill Gothard. Now, Doug Phillips and Bill Gothard, two separate ministries, but both of them have recently ran into some moral issues, and both of them have stepped down from leading those ministries. And it's caused a lot of people then to question not just those individuals themselves, but the entire movement. And in this particular case, a movement that involves something called patriarchy. Now, you may be familiar with that term, because we speak of Old Testament saints as being patriarchs. So we're thinking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so forth in the Old Testament scriptures. They're spoken about as being the patriarchs. And so it's a good term. It's a biblical term that we find in the Old Testament. But what we find is the patriarchy movement has become something else. It's kind of, I don't mean to zero in on fundamentalism and to, you know, pick a fight in fundamentalism, but it's kind of like that. I count myself to be a fundamentalist. In other words, I count myself to hold to the fundamentals of the faith as they are articulated for us, and not just the Word of God, but then how the in the fundamentalist movement would articulate them as well. Belief in the inerrancy of the Scripture and the deity of Christ and the virgin birth of Christ and the resurrection and the return of Christ and so forth. Fundamental doctrines of the faith. However, throughout the years, although fundamentalism did a great job of standing up against liberalism initially, a number of years ago, decades ago, it became something else. The movement itself became something. And from that, I would distance myself from what it became. Maybe some people would say very judgmental and more noted for what they were against than what they were for, and things like that, and other things. Maybe even some elements of legalism involved in it, finding our relationship with God based upon the things that we do or don't do, and so forth. So there are elements in it that I would distance myself from. Well, in a similar way, I think, that's what we're talking about when we talk about patriarchy. The idea of the father being the head of the home is a biblical notion. It's a very good biblical concept that we find. However, the patriarchy movement became something else. To talk about that today is the author of that article, Daniel James Devine. He not only wrote an article about this subject in homeschooling, but a couple of other related topics as well that we may get to during our discussion today. Daniel, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Well, Daniel, I laid out the case there a little bit more coming from my own perspective about this, but why don't you guide us a little bit through your article? Give us a little bit of a summation as to what you wrote about and what's taking place in the patriarchy movement.
Yeah, boy, I really appreciated your introduction there, because that word patriarchy can be a slippery term. Mm-hmm. It seems that it can mean anything somebody wants it to mean, depending on who you're talking to.
Mm.
And the critics of patriarchy certainly have a broader term, broader definition maybe than some others would have. But very interesting what happened last week. As you mentioned, Michael Ferris, he's the founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association back in the 80s, and then he founded Patrick Henry College 14 years ago.
Mm.
He's a very well-known and respected leader in the homeschool movement. And a big advocate of homeschooling, of course, and of course we are at World as well, and I'm actually a homeschool graduate myself, a big proponent. But interesting thing happened last week. Michael Ferris issued a statement distancing himself from these two figures who are pretty well known among the homeschool community.
Sure.
Doug Phillips and Bill Gothard. And both have stepped down from ministries, Phillips and Gothard, within the past year over allegations of improprieties, we could say. And so Ferris distanced himself. He disavowed some of the teaching coming from these two guys. From Phillips, he disavowed what he called patriarchy, and at least Phillips' brand of it. And we talked about how that word can have a slippery definition. And so it was good that Ferris actually laid out specifically what he was repudiating. And he mentioned like three different points. And they were that the idea that women should not vote, or that adult women should remain under their father's authority until they get married, or that higher education was not important for women. And Ferris said that Phillips has promoted these ideas. And Ferris said that while it was okay for families to have very conservative personal standards for themselves, it was not okay to promote those ideas as if they were universal commands from God.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Ferris said about Gothard was not that Gothard had promoted patriarchy, but he called some of Gothard's teaching legalism, or the idea that Gothard maybe had some views on wise standards that were based on the Bible, but said that Gothard had promoted those as if, again, they were universal commands from God.
Hmm.
Ferris said that that just wasn't the case. So that's what those are the two things that Ferris was really repudiating last week.
Hmm. One thing that's very interesting in this story is, and I've heard this before, but drawing a connection between the particular leaders themselves, Doug Phillips and Bill Gothard, and their moral failure. Both of them were involved in some sort of improper activity with young girls, and so their own moral sin and failure against God with the patriarchy movement itself. And there's where I think that some people question, you know, is it just that these guys did this and this is just their, you know, their own personal moral failure, and therefore the entire movement, just they happen to be leaders in the movement, but the should the movement itself then, should the connection be drawn that the teachings of patriarchy itself led these men to do these types of things, or it created an environment where these men could do this type of activity, or would lead them to do this type of activity? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are critics who are going to draw that, you know, that type of connection. I don't know for sure if that's true. I mean, it could have more to do with the leadership style of, you know, these two men. I mean, we see scandals in other groups as well outside of fundamentalism, so it's not, certainly not exclusive to them. But I think some people, you know, will make that connection, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think that so that's a big question. You know, we need to think about that. Is that does it really then deserve the critique the way it's getting the patriarchy movement itself? And as I said in the beginning, basically, I just spoke to a person yesterday here in the studio. Bob Clayton was in here with us, and we were talking about Trail Life USA, the new Boy Scout group, if you will, more of a Christ-centered Boy Scout group. And part in the introduction to our discussion yesterday, we started by saying that many fathers are MIA in the families. They're missing in action from taking the leadership in the homes, and sometimes aren't in the home at all. And so there's generations of children that are being raised in single-parent homes, or that the father is just mentally or a lot of times physically absent from the home, and it's a huge problem. So the swing of the pendulum has been all the way back to the other side, that, you know, a lot of teaching about the father being the head of the home and people trying to implement that. And I think that's why we saw the rise of many of these ministries that were advocating that. And people were looking for to them, you know, how do we appropriate this? How do we apply this on a daily basis? And what they got from Bill Gothard was, you know, a minutia of ways to apply this in the home. And I thought that some of it was pretty bizarre as it got going. You know, I remember one in particular where he was telling a married couple that they couldn't buy a refrigerator without going to their parents to get their parents, I don't know if they had to have their parents' final authority on buying it, or if they just had to go there in order to get their wisdom and insight on buying a refrigerator for their home. And, you know, it just started to get pretty bizarre.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, I'm not super familiar with Gothard's teaching. I've heard a little bit of it, and I recall thinking that a lot of it was good. I remember I didn't agree with all of it, but I'm not familiar with all the minutiae of it. Interestingly, we spoke with Gothard because we asked both Phillips and Gothard if they'd have a follow-up comment after what Ferris wrote last week. And what Gothard told me was that his teaching from the very beginning has been, the major goal of it has been to teach people to meditate on the commands of God, on the commands of Christ. And he actually said he considers Ferris a friend, and he set up a phone interview that's supposed to take place today on Wednesday, actually. Mm. So apparently they're having a conversation about this very subject right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, he mentions in the article that he felt that his teachings were unbalanced, right? He described them as being legalistic in his approach, and, you know, I think that he probably hit the nail on the head on both of those two terms. The unbalanced part, you know, is just there was so much emphasis on this one aspect of the Christian life that it did seem out of sync with other elements of the gospel message at times. And the legalism part is, just for our listening audience sake, again, that term gets thrown around a lot, but legalism is when you are looking to your own works and your efforts, things that you do or you don't do, as you're standing before God. You find your acceptance with God based upon your own performance of certain things. And, of course, the gospel message is that we don't have an audience or acceptance with God based upon our own performance. We have it based upon the performance of another, even his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our position with God is already secure, and now we're working out of gratitude for what he has done, doing the good works afterwards out of gratitude. So it seemed at time that point would get lost, and you were almost trying to, if you were, you know, really wanted to be in God's favor, you had to do these certain items in order to really be able to do that. And that's where I think the legalism came along. So I wanted to ask you, though, you had a couple of other related articles to this story, and a couple of them deal with that there have been some pretty disgruntled homeschooling children that have now grown up who are, you know, coming out against homeschooling pretty strongly and saying that it may even need some sort of regulation by the state in order to prevent some of the abuses that are taking place? Tell our listening audience what your research discovered as you were looking at that topic.
To preface this, as I said before, World is a big advocate of homeschooling, and we're generally against growth of government regulation. But this is there's a former group of homeschoolers that have gotten together and started a website. They've started an advocacy organization, and they seem to be getting a stronger and stronger voice. And so we just wanted to look at, what are they saying, and are they raising legitimate points or not? And that was the goal of this article. So they've started, these former homeschoolers have started a website called Homeschoolers Anonymous, and there they've been posting stories that generally fall under the category of kids who are maybe disgruntled or maybe they wouldn't like that term, upset, or they feel like that there were things wrong with their upbringing. And some of them say that they were physically or sexually abused by their parents, perhaps emotionally abused, and some would even use the term spiritually abused. To maybe say that they disagreed with the standards that their parents raised them with. As you look through this website, as I was looking through it, as far as I could tell, it seemed that there were a lot of very legitimate stories, if they were true, mm-hmm. of kids who had been hurt in some way by their upbringing. And certainly just a lot of hurt and pain there, and we don't want to minimize that in any way.
Sure.
Some of these former students have started an advocacy organization called the Coalition for Responsible Home Education. And they're basically arguing that homeschoolers need to be more strictly regulated across the states in order to prevent cases of abuse or cases of educational neglect in which parents might be claiming to be homeschooling but not really teaching their kids or not doing a very good job of it. So they've actually published an entire list of policy guidelines for legislators, and they're promoting those. And so one of the things we did on our website, we actually compared those policy guidelines with those of Homeschool Legal Defense Association, which has for a long time advocated to leave homeschooling largely unregulated to give parents the freedom to advocate their kids as they would want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a couple of things on that that point. By far, I do agree that there are cases of abuse, I'm sure, just as there is in any group of people. There's going to be cases where there's going to be people who take things too far and that there are abuse that takes place and there's neglect and the students come out without the training that they need and that they should have. That's true. But by far, my experience has been with homeschoolers, and I deal with quite a few of them, and we homeschooled our children as well for many years, and that they tend to excel. They tend to be leaders. They tend to be do very well academically. They do very well when they get out into the workplace. I heard from a fellow who was involved in the nursing industry, and he was talking about the students that they received that had been involved in homeschooling who then went into nursing training and so forth, and he had nothing but glowing reports to say about how well they did in that industry and so forth. And so I think that that is that's the first thing, that by and large, I see very, very good things resulting from homeschooling. Secondly, I would say that abuse, if there is abuse, there is mechanisms already in our system of government and so forth for abuse and neglect and those types of things to be dealt with and to be handled. And if there is some sort of abuse going on and there's a legitimate charge of that, there's already things in place, laws and ways of people getting involved in order to deal with that. And third, I would say related to that, the state is not the right group to get involved for a number of reasons. They don't do much. The government doesn't do much very well. And we're just seeing that over and over again. They don't seem to do a good job on these types of things. They feel that the children belong to the state rather than to the parent. We just had a case here again recently where the parents were arrested because of the they took their child to another country because they didn't agree with the medical diagnosis. We had the case here in the United States of that where the girl was taken away from her parents. They weren't able to see her. So the state has got a bad attitude about this, and they already have a bad attitude towards homeschooling since they run their own school program, and they get money based upon how many students they have in the public school system. So they have a vested interest to not be favorable to homeschooling. And so I think they're absolutely the wrong people to get involved. And so I wouldn't advocate for that at all. Your comments, Daniel?
Yeah, you know, it was what we tried to look at with this story was, you know, is the rate of abuse and neglect high among homeschoolers or not? Or maybe is it lower than the general population? And the problem is there's no direct research that we know of on the rate of abuse or neglect within the homeschool community. But the evidence that we looked at, to us, it seems to suggest that homeschoolers, as you said, do much better academically. There's been a lot of studies to show that. But also that it seems that abuse and criminal cases of abuse or neglect are lower among homeschoolers than the general population, just based on the limited evidence that there is out there that we saw. And so it would beg the question, you know, why increase regulation of homeschoolers when it seems like they're doing much better overall?
Mm-hmm. And we'd have to really delve down into exactly what is meant by abuse and neglect and so forth. You pointed out right in the very beginning that we don't want to minimize anybody's real abuse or neglect that has taken place. And obviously, we wouldn't condone that and would want to stop that in any way possible. But I just wonder, in some of these cases, when we use a word like neglect or abuse, if it isn't much broadened out, like we saw with some of these other folks that are critical of the entire homeschooling movement, so that, hey, we didn't have a television in our home. You know, homeschooling parents might be more strict than the average parent in the United States. And so some people now might say, hey, that was a form of abuse that I went through. We never had a television in our home, or I wasn't allowed to listen to whatever music I wanted to listen to, and my parents never let me go out with my friends and do things. You know what I'm saying? They may have a little bit broader category of abuse or neglect than what you were thinking when we use that term.
At World, you know, certainly when we mention abuse or neglect, we're thinking in terms of criminal instances,
yes.
So things that would be breaking the law. If you were to go to Homeschoolers Anonymous and their website, you'd want to use more discernment, because sometimes they'll say things like spiritual abuse, and they're thinking in terms of, okay, what my parents taught me about the Bible, they made me maybe feel guilty about some things that I did, and those would, well, we would not call those true cases of abuse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well put. And Daniel, you did an excellent job here in these articles. Let me see. I think there's three specific ones that are related to this. Homeschooling leader disavows patriarchy, opposing views on homeschool regulation, and then homeschool debate. There's the three on this. There was another one there about public school at home, but that's more about using online resources that homeschoolers can use and so forth. And so I would just recommend to our listening audience that you go out there and check out these articles. Daniel has done a great job about writing about these things and really doing some really good research behind the scenes in order to bring these stories to light. Daniel, thank you so much for doing that. We really appreciate the work that you do there personally, and then the work of World Magazine as a whole that you guys do. It's excellent, excellent reporting.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
And that from a homeschooler. So that's good.
Yeah.
You going to homeschool, Daniel, when you have your own children?
You know, I do. I plan to. Yes, I'm a big advocate.
Excellent. Excellent. It was a very positive experience for us, but I quickly learned that some people had viewed homeschooling as an end in itself, and it became an end-all be-all. And I did at some point realize that I needed to look at this as it was just the best tool that we could use, that we have a mandate from Almighty God to train our children in the way that they should go. And homeschooling was a really good tool to use for that. But when that tool became not the best tool that we could use, then we went ahead and put our children in a Christian school where they received other training, and it worked out really well for our girls. And so I'm a strong advocate of it as well. I think the more you have the parents involved, and especially at that level, it really works out well for the children.
And well said.
Well, Daniel, thanks again for the report. We really appreciate it.
Yep, you bet.
That was Daniel James Devine. He's a reporter at World Magazine. He covers a number of issues, including science, technology. He's a lot of topics in the Midwest. That's where Daniel is, and his home base is in Indiana. And you can follow Daniel. He's got a Twitter account as well, Dan Jam Devine. So you can go out there in order to follow him there. And you can also read his articles out on worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. And you'll be able to see there all of Daniel's articles. You can click on his name and it'll bring you a list of the articles that he has written.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.